Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, September 16th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing just fantastic today, and just an update for Dave Allen. He should be back next Monday. He was going to try to come back on Wednesday, but we have a two-segment program, and then I have my discussion, my conversation with James Corbett on Friday, so I said, well, being the good boss that I am, just keep recovering and make sure that you take care of yourself and be back on Monday. So he'll be back on Monday, and we'll have a blog on Friday, and our newsletter is going out today. I just need to fill it up with some items, as we'll have the market report, Wendy's article, and so forth. So that'll come out a little bit later on today. Will not be as full as it normally is, but you know what? It's free. It's one thing in this world that is free. You know? What can I say? But is it really free, Butch? I don't know. Gotta pay people to do it. Gold today.
There's nothing free, Melody. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Somebody pays for it. Gold today. Well, I'll tell you. There's so much to talk about. Let's get right to it. Gold was up 1140 at 1500. We had a high of 1507. And, of course, this comes off the tail of what happened in Saudi Arabia on Aramco. And so 1500 right now holding on gold. Silver was up 46 cents today at 1797. We did pop over 18 briefly. And, you know, this is all damage control, ladies and gentlemen. Platinum was down 11 at 940. Palladium was down 9 at 1606. USDX today was stronger by 0.42 at 98.60. Crude oil was up 6.89 at 61.74. And, of course, that's the talk of the day. Had the largest history increase. I think I did see, I don't know if it was Brent, I think I saw it was like up 9% at the peak of the day. So we'll dive into that a little bit here in just a few minutes. Stock markets today, you know, fairly calm considering what's all going on. You have the Dow up 143 at 27,076. You have the NASDAQ down 23 at 81.53. The S&P was down 9.44 at 29.97. 10-year yield was down 0.06 at 1.84%. Gold futures is still holding the 1506 level, and of course that's still December contract. And let's see if there's anything else interesting going on in the paper markets. Japan was up over 1%. Everything else was in negative territory. Just, you know, kind of like ours, anywhere from 0.5% to lower than 1%. And everybody's happy. Fear and greed, the emotion. Hey, we're heading into greed territory.
You know, there doesn't seem to be much. Nothing much seems to shake the markets anywhere anymore. You know, it used to be that something's going on like in the Middle East now with the oil attack on Saudi Arabia and the tankers being held up. And I think that would put the markets in a little bit of a tailspin. But nothing seems to phase anywhere. That's amazing.
Well, you know, and it also tells me that, you know, everybody knows we're not going to war with Iran, I think. I think it's so obvious anymore who and what is. It's obvious what everyone is doing. To me, it is anyway. I don't know where you want to start. If you want to start in with the, where the Saudi oil attack could be a big deal.
I want to read, if I could, a very brief article. A guy named Grunlich out of London predicted a 75% chance of a recession before 2020 election. And I thought it's just a brief three or four small paragraphs. I think very interesting because this guy's a billionaire. He's not like a little pauper somewhere making a decision. He's got some facts to back it up. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share that with people. 75% chance of recession before 2020 election. And I tend to agree with him. If the Democrats want the election, they may cause some kind of damage towards the economy. We'll see. But if you'd like me to share it, I will.
Well, sure. We'll start there.
Okay. All right. Speaking at a London event this week, the billionaire money manager retired has reiterated his August outlook, telling the audience we should be on recession watch before 2020 election, adding, "We're getting closer, but we're not there yet." According to Gundlach, an inverted yield curve is not the best indicator of recession. It's the inversion occurring and then going away. In his June Republic webcast, he predicted a 45% chance of recession by the end of the year amid the U.S.-China trade war, while in August, Gundrich said that the yield curves look full-on necessary and a lot like 2007. "There's no way to sugarcoat it," he told Yahoo Finance. "When you have a 40 basis point inversion, well then that usually leads to a problem." Gundlach added that we will probably start seeing the yield curve steepen, but it wouldn't necessarily be a good sign. "That would also seal the fate of recession coming," he said. "It's not so much inversion. The inversion is a warning that there's one coming. But you start to get the imminence category once it first starts steepening out from the inversion, because by then the Fed has realized it's behind the curve. The market knows it too, and everybody knows the Fed's going to slice interest rates." So, I don't know. I mean, this Rich, about this background, this guy, he's apparently a fairly wise investor. Obviously, he's a billionaire. But he's looking for something huge to happen between now and election. And I know that's a year away. But how long is a year, Melody? But it seems like about 3 months anymore. So, I don't know. We will see on that. But I just want to share with you. I mean, something, I do believe economically something's got to happen. I don't know why yet. I don't know. But what's going on in Saudi Arabia with the oil field and all that being attacked, I don't know. We can discuss it a little bit now if you want to. But all these things are building up to something. The tension in the Middle East, the fact that we're trying to take over Venezuela. The United States wants to take over Venezuela for the natural resources, of course. It's expansion of our empire. We're seeing all these things happen. Afghanistan is heating up again. So much is going on in so many different areas. So, if you want to start, we'll start, if you want to, on Saudi Arabia and what happened there.
Well, I just want to add to, you know, what you're bringing it up about, another, supposedly financial wizard comes out and tells us that the recession is around the corner. And, it is. The signs are all there. They've been there for a long time. Even Ron Paul. I mean, we know, respect Ron Paul. He's warning about negative interest rates. He says, we're going to join the rest of those who have negative rates, all in hopes that it's going to be the solution to our problems. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no solution to our problems. The day of reckoning is coming. The solution is start letting it crash and start from the bottom, and hopefully, something might arise that, that we don't have this problem again. But we know that's not going to happen. Hopefully it will, but Ron Paul said that we have never had as many currency in negative interest rates. $17 trillion worth of bonds are in negative interest rates. It never existed before. That's a bubble. We're in the biggest granddaddy of all bubbles in history, the bond bubble. And as all bubbles, they break. They burst, period. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. So the day is coming. And you have all these financial instruments at the fingertips of government, the Treasury, the Federal Reserve, global governments, global central banks at their fingertips, the just not them, but all the banking facilities, the major banks. They create all of these financial instruments in order to just keep it going one more day, because they know they only care about their skin. They really don't care about you.
That's true.
And if you don't protect yourself, and if you can, you can play their game for a little bit, and more power to you. But do you think they're going to let you win the game? Highly unlikely. And so get out while you can. And that's You know, just like Ron Paul, we've been waving the red flag for years. You know, we're looking at a 50% or more drop in the stock markets. And so, yeah, it's not going away. And you're right, Butch. You look at all this turmoil that's going on and around the world. And again, this is, I'm just talking about the administration. I'm not saying anything negative. It's an observation. But I believe we have a president who likes a lot of this, I don't know what you want to call it. Not really turmoil, but
drama.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And I believe when you have this much going on, that eventually one gets away from you sooner than maybe you wanted it to. And do I think that's where we're at now? I don't know. You know, I don't know what's doing what. There's a lot of coincidences in this past week, Butch.
Oh, yes.
You know, from Bolton, from, you know, from what's happening in the Saudi Arabia to Aramco. Hey, what was I talking about last week? Their little IPO, they wanted oil to be at $80. They had the bankers over in Abu Dhabi to talk about their IPO this weekend when all this happens. And so, I mean, if you want to fill in on the information on the Saudis and what happened, there was 10 drones, I guess, that hit their refining facilities, Butch.
Yeah, and you know what? He's thinking that you don't think we'll go to war with Iran, and I hope we don't. I don't think we'll either. But again, that's just my thoughts. That certainly is not anything solid to base your thoughts on. But if there's another attack, if there could be many more of them, just boom, boom, boom. No matter who's doing it, whether we're doing it to provoke something or who knows what's happening, I don't know. But if there's if we let this slide and there's another one, I mean, how many more options would we have besides war? I mean, if they keep saying Iran's doing it, just like we're looking for the weapons of mass destruction, which never showed up. We went to war with Iraq and on and on and on. Well, if Iran is accused of this, and they have another attack, and it's another one on the Saudi oil facilities or where it may be, what will be the next reaction? I know Iran has told the United States, if you want a war, we're ready, come on. You know, I mean, we didn't do it, but if you want to have a war, then let's get started. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Iran is not going to be like going in and pushing over Nicaragua or something. It's not going to happen that way. This is going to be a full-fledged, all-out gunfight, so to speak. And I don't know what's going to happen. But Iran is not backing down as far as saying they didn't do it. They're not going to take the blame for it. They didn't do it. We'll see what happens. But how many options will Trump have if they keep on going this direction? I mean, what will he do? Bolton was still in there, we know what he wants to do. But
Pompeo isn't any different than Bolton was at before he got his position, and but he quickly changed his ways to go along with President Trump, and so there has been changes to Pompeo. Well, Bolton there weren't. He stuck his ground, and even now, you're seeing Bolton getting blamed for a lot of the discussions that or why we aren't any further along in North Korea and so forth. He's beginning to get a little blame for that. It's all his fault because of saying it would they'd be treated like Libya and so forth and whatnot. So it was his model that he made clear in a television interview. It's just nuts.
And
you know what's interesting? We talked to, and I think we're all over the page because we just started talking about the Saudis, and I didn't know that there were 10, just to let you know and let the listeners know, there were 10 automated aerial combat drones launched in an attack at Aramco's Abaik plant Saturday at 3:31 a.m. Where does Yemen get drones, But they're the ones that are taking credit for it, But we're blaming Iran. So
again, I don't know what's going to happen there. But if there's another one or two or three more attacks, no matter where they come from, what is the next move, Melody? What else can be done? I don't know. I don't think anyone with the right mind wants to have war. But I don't want to tell you on that. Of course, I realize a lot of people in power don't have the right mind, obviously. But
Well, I think what you're going to see is, because there's been a lot of discussions lately with Iran as far as coming to the table for, you know, some sort of a summit. And before I think we would go to any type of, escalation, I think there would be a summit, because that would be to go to a summit and come up with some sort of a, an agreement or let's relax and so forth would be a feather in President Trump's cap. So I think that's what we're going to see. And particularly at the same time, you had Kim Jong-un offer an invite to President Trump to go back to Pyongyang for another summit. So I doubt if Trump's going to go there, but at least the door is open. So I think that's what they're headed. And I'll tell you what, this IPO worth trillions of dollars, and you just can't put that out and say, well, that's a pretty big that's a pretty big event just to boost the oil prices for your IPO, because you might think of it as, something that wouldn't benefit you. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I don't know.
$8 a barrel will put the price of fuel well over $3 a gallon. That'd be right? Be a fair statement, you think? It's $60.
I would think so. I mean,
It's $2.50 now on national average. At what, $55, $60 a barrel? Went to $80 bill, it'd be over $3. And now they're actually discussing $100 barrel oil, and that's, I think, highly possible with all the things going on in the Middle East, including with the shipping in the and the Straits of Hormuz and through there. I think it's very possible the Hormuz could make a difference there too. But we'll see. But $100 a barrel will not only increase the price of gasoline for you and I, but also increase the gas of fuel for truckers, which will increase the gas increase the price on goods to deliver. So that will be a huge hit on us, obviously. And we'll have to wait and see. But
it's a huge hit just in more than gasoline and energy costs and
sure
so forth.
Is.
I mean, we have so many products that oil is a byproduct of so many products. The West Texas Intermediate futures jumped more than 14%. That was notching its biggest one-day gain since 2008. The WTI briefly rose more than 15% overnight. And so, again, you're going to see a big impact on the global economy. We feel it as individuals and so forth, but on the global economy, if prices remain high due to this fear, it's going to kill the... And the global economy is already hurting. It's already being pushed to the brink. So, and you know what? I'm the only one that I know of.
It's break time, by the way. It's break time. Music is playing, folks.
Keep this thought.
Million here. It's break time.
Keep this thought.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Keep this thought, because I want to talk about it when we get back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to these programs archived or live right from the website, dgscoins.com. I'm going to just head right into the what we were talking about. We were talking about oil, the high price of oil. And I remember when we were heading into the Great Recession, you had a big hit in the markets in June. But what I believe pushed the markets to another level of disruption at that point in time was oil. In July, we had oil going up to 150, and it seemed like that was the true catalyst. I mean, everything fell apart after that. Just everything, because people couldn't afford gasoline. People had all these big trucks and big SUVs. It cost $150 to fill one up. Well, maybe not that much, but pretty close, at least $100. So that really did put a big damper on things, Butch. And yes. I don't know if we're seeing the same thing here or not, if oil will be the culprit to the global economies, because we already know how stretched and thin they are.
Well, you know, one good thing may come out of this, if Trump is telling the truth on this, and I think he is. He said that this article says Trump praises U.S. energy independence after Saudi attack. We don't need Middle Eastern oil. And I wish that were true. I truly do. If we could bring it all home and become self-sustaining, maybe we could have a little better prosperity and a little more steady pace of growing here. But it says, with international oil prices soaring following this weekend's attack on Saudi Arabia, which has indefinitely crippled as much as half of its oil production capacity, President Trump said a tweet Monday morning to try and reassure markets that the U.S. is now energy independent and doesn't need crude from the Middle East in what looks like an attempt to send prices lower. Because we have done so well with energy over the last few years, we are a net energy exporter, and now the number one energy producer in the world. We don't need Middle Eastern oil and gas, and in fact, have a very few tankers there, but we'll help our allies. So I would like to think that was really true, that we could quit transporting our shale oil, whatever, across the seas, turn it back inside the country, produce, and become self-sufficient on oil production. You know, the more independent and self-sufficient a nation is, or an individual as far as that goes, the freer they are. If you depend on somebody else to supply your needs, you're not free at all. And that's why I know, Mel, you keep telling people to prepare themselves for what's coming. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, if you're still alive, you're gonna be glad you did, to get out of debt, put back something worth something to keep in case things get really hard fast. All these things, folks, are common sense. A little bit of storable food, even, and a water filter, and things that you might just need to survive. Let's just say it's only a 6 months hit. Milly, you know how many people would be out in the streets rioting if they had to survive 6 months on their own?
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. But if we become independently independent on our own productions and take care of ourselves in that perspective, America is just that much stronger, is it not?
Right.
So, same goes for individuals. If you take care of yourself, prepare yourself, things fall apart, you will be strong enough to sustain through the bad times. If you don't do it, I don't want to tell you. If you're not prepared, if you still depend on somebody else to take care of you, supply your earnings, supply your what do you have to need, your food, clothing. If you depend on somebody else to do that, you're going to find yourself in a bind when that cuts off. And when if the oil price do go to $100 a barrel, you're going to pay enough to nose for everything you buy. Everything's bought in plastic. That includes everything you think of in the store, just about a bottle of water or anything. Anything that oil is in production, and most everything is, even some drugs.
Everything.
Even
drugs.
Some drugs have oil petroleum in them. So, folks, I'm telling you, prepare yourself. Please give Melody a call. I know you're probably not rolling in dough, but if you can buy something to hedge against what's coming, I think it would be a very wise thing. Gold broke $1,500 an ounce, and it was only 12-something a few months ago. Don't think Melody's going to drop much lower than that. I think it's going to take another hit up and then stay above that for a while. And silver, $18 an ounce right now, was down to $14. So there's nothing to lose to move in that direction. You need to give her a call. Now, Melody, I'm ready to move whenever you are.
Well, President Trump did say that based on the attack on Saudi Arabia, he has authorized the release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve if needed, in a to-be-determined amount. Energy Secretary Rick Perry told CNBC's Squawk on the Street it was premature to say whether the use of reserves would be needed. And so he did say, Bob Ryan, Chief Commodities and Energy Strategist, said that this is the largest supply shock ever. The world is dependent on strategic reserves right now, and you will see SPR draws. He says the market could tighten significantly. And just real quick on what I believe is a conspiracy. It's not going to say it's a conspiracy theory, but think about this, ladies and gentlemen. How often did we hear about, so we only get about 5% of our oil from the Saudis. You got to remember the petrodollar. That's what it's all about. You always got to follow the money. And it's all about our dollar. And just what if the Saudis was at peak oil? You've heard the talk of peak oil for how many years? Our need now to go into all these oil-producing countries, we want regime change, like Venezuela, Iran, even Yemen. What do you think that fight in Yemen is all about? I mean, they're one of the poorest countries in Saudi Arabia, and I'm thinking, well, why are they fighting this little country for? It's one of the poorest. It's got a strong military, though. It comes in second behind the Saudi kingdom. And I don't know. It's fascinating when you think of all the... when you think of all the various possibilities of what's going on, and trying to connect the dots. And, I mean, that's how you really come up with the final, story, is connecting the dots and following the money. And because they're not going to tell us the truth. They're just going to, it's all, a lot of it is theatrics. However is going to benefit their election and so forth, that's how it's going to be played. But, anyway, let's move on. Let's go to something else.
Well, I would like to say this. Russia has warned the U.S. not to make any too many hasty conclusions about what happened in Saudi Arabia, because if we would happen to go into Iran, we won't just be fighting Iran. We'll be fighting Russia and others too that we're supplying Iran needs. So it's a big move. It's not like he's going to go in there and fight Iran. Nobody else is going to be there to help Iran. This will involve a lot of world power. So it's something seriously to think about. It's not.
It is. It is. And just on one more thing, I saw in a brief comment on this weekend, and now I've looked it up, and there were a couple of articles I read today about Mike Pompeo and his possibility of actually taking over or including Bolton's being National Security Advisor. He would do both positions. Pompeo would be Secretary of State and head of the NSA. And that hasn't happened since Kissinger.
It's interesting, because other articles are saying that he's going to appoint Charles Krupperman to be NSA.
It might very might well be, but this was going on for a little bit as far as discussions, and I just found that interesting that there was that comparison.
Well, you know, a thing concerned me with Krupperman said that we could win a nuclear war with Russia. Melody, I got to ask you this question. I mean this sincerely. Who wins a nuclear war?
I know. That's...
I mean,
it's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
You don't win, and no one wins a war.
No one.
We all lose. But a nuclear war, no, the whole world will pay for that. My goodness, people would say something like that, either are totally ignorant or evil to the core. We can win, it's a winnable war to fight a nuclear war with Russia. My goodness,
that's
what
if
insane.
We get to them first. That's if we get to them first.
They would still get us, you know that. And who knows who else would come in their direction to help them.
Yep.
But a nuclear war is really unwinnable as far as even the world surviving. It's going to be which is biblical, it's going to happen. I realize that. But it's going to be so sad. Now move
and
if you want
you know
to.
What? How do you get 10 drones? If this was one of the largest of the world's processing center, stabilization, you don't have any security. They all flew under the radar. I mean, think about it. Drones can go anywhere then, ladies and gentlemen.
Good point. I mean, if they had no way to stop them, 10 of them. That's a good point.
But supposedly they all flew under radar. Nobody even knew they were there. Really? This is the biggest oil? Think about Texas. The Permian Basin. Anyway.
Good point. I guess you know that GM's going on strike, right? 46,000 GM auto workers are on strike. It's an estimated 1,200 plant assembly workers streamed out of the plant along Van Skyl Avenue in the cars 11:59 p.m. Sunday, marking the beginning of the UAW's first national strike since 2007. The auto workers, cheered by a large crowd of labor supporters, turned toward the UAW local 598 union hall down the street to pick up picket signs. They lined the street, the snakes around the plant that builds the popular Chevrolet Silverado and GMC's Series C pickups. I just wonder what kind of financial condition this will put the GM in. I wonder if they're still invulnerable like they used to be years ago, or are they going to be hurting too? I mean, Ford's credit dropped to junk status. Would GM do the same thing?
They've already been junk. No, I don't. Well, you know what? I mean, from what I understand, the unions gave an offer that were pretty good to the employees, and they still rejected it. So employees are feeling the unions are, or I should say the company gave an offer to the unions, and it was turned down. And so I guess the employees and the unions are feeling mighty, you know, they're feeling
confident.
Confident. And so we'll just have to see how it turns out. You know, who knows?
Well, I wonder how that. I don't know how it's going to go on. May go on day. May go on for who knows how long. But of course, I would say even dealers are maybe thinking about this too, because they do sell new cars, and who knows? Only time will tell.
You know, it's just another sign that people are having a hard time. That they want higher wages. That they, healthcare costs are rising, and they need more money to offset that. And I believe GM went into a strike back in 2007 or somewhere around that time, or maybe during the Great Recession. I don't know the exact year, but I guess it lasted about 2 weeks. So you might see this again. So, I mean, timing is everything. And so I hope they think they picked a good time to go on a strike, but we'll see.
Well, I do want to briefly also... Although we've mentioned before in the past, this is more of a precise synopsis of the stores that have shut down since the beginning of 2019, which has been 9 months now. And I just want to read the number of some of the stores, just a number of the stores. And I don't know how big the stores were. I don't know how many people they employ, but they employ at least 15, 20 people, I would say at least. But I know I pronounced this one wrong the first time. You said Charlotte Rousseau, is that right?
Yes.
That's how you pronounce it, okay. Shutting down 512 stores. Gymboree, 945 stores. Innovative Mattress Solutions, 142 stores. Shopco, 367. Things Remembered, 419. Of course, Payless Shoe Store is out. 2,500 stores. Now, think about that a minute, Melody. They had 2,500 stores across this country. That's 50 stores per state. And they all shut down. Wow. That's hard to fathom it. I wonder why. What happened? How did they lose that much business? What's going on? I mean, online sales calls this? What happened? Something to think about there. That's a big hit, is it not?
Well, it is. And those are all unemployed people.
So I just wonder, you know, I mean, I know online sales make a difference. I realize that. I know that's true. But could all these stores be put out of business basically because of online sales, you think?
I don't think so. I just think, you know, they go into debt. There's, you know, you have a lot of expenses. A lot of these bigger chains have retirement accounts, pensions. You know, they can't afford them.
How about the people that retired from them? What's going to happen to their retirement?
I mean, just look at Sears. I mean, here you have, they ran that into the ground, and then the head guy comes in and scoops it up, and everybody readjusts their pensions, retirement accounts, and, you know, it's just another day of corruption and fraud in the banking world, in the business world.
So that means that the little guys that retire from these stores, just say little guys in a sense that they're not millionaires.
Well, if they had one. I mean, I saw a headline today of this woman that when you go to the hospital and your cat, your medical wristband or whatever costs 900% more than what you can purchase it for at Amazon.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I mean, it's like, really? So it's all messed up. And these are all, how long can it go on that people can pay 900% more because of a hospital stay just to get a, you know, because you sprained your wrist?
I don't doubt. I know that. I've looked at the price of some medicines. Even aspirin is jacked up 1,000%, we'll say, for an aspirin in the hospital. I mean, my goodness gracious. Yes, I understand hospitals may have to make a profit, but not like that. Not like that. That's just totally price gouging, to say the least.
Speaking of profit, the big headlines today. 8 years of Trump tax returns subpoenaed by the Manhattan District Attorney. Eight years. So we'll just have to see what's issued. I don't know. This is different than, you know, Congress and so forth. So I guess it, I don't know. It was unclear if the broad scope of the subpoena indicated that the office had expanded its investigation beyond actions taken during the 2016 campaign. So we'll have to see. Yep. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I hear we're heading into a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, Butch, what's next?
Well, I want you to explain this to me, because I think you understand better than I do. Bank warms to mortgage bonds that burned them in 2008. Now, we know this last week we discussed an issue that come up and reared his head when they started lowering the qualifications for people to borrow money. They wouldn't do it again. They get the credit scores lowered so that people can borrow money they can't afford to pay back. Duh. But Citigroup, Goldman and Sachs, and Wells Fargo are getting back into the business. Last year, some Cindy Bean and mortgages ended up in a private label mortgage bonds, according to the Urban Institute. It is the most since 2007, but still far below the precarious peak. Banks are getting back into the business of building mortgage bonds, laying the groundwork for a market that stands to grow as Trump administration tries to reduce government role in housing finance. Now, when it says they want to warm to mortgage bonds that burned them in 2008, how does that work?
Subprime derivatives. That's that simple.
Oh, more air.
More air. Anything to get these financial instruments in order to keep the system going, or in order for them to make just another buck more.
But in 2008, it collapsed a lot of things, and of course, you and I, because we're wealthy and can afford it, bailed everybody out. And we're going to probably have to do it again. Well, they promise it's not going to happen again, but you know it's going to. So what they're doing by lowering their demand for people that can afford to pay the loans, and to pair it to pad their cushion again, so to speak, to pad their nest, they're willing to do it again, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, they bundle them up and they sell them out to investors, and that's, you know, they don't change. It's going to happen again and again, as long as we have a fiat system and nobody cares about fraud. We were going to talk about the three guys that got caught, or their fingers smacked, or their scapegoats, whatever you want to call them, for manipulating the precious metals markets in contracts.
Yes.
Yep, everybody knows what's going on. Yeah.
I mean, it says three J.P. Morgan traders charged for massive gold market manipulation fraud. Now, so many readers wrote us off as a conspiracy theorist when we reported on signs of manipulation in the precious metals market. You've been saying that for years, Melody. But as it turns out, trading desks at some of the world's largest banks were deeply involved in what the Department of Justice, folks, described as a massive multi-year scheme to manipulate the market for precious metals futures contracts and defraud market participants. In an indictment unsealed on Monday morning, the DOJ charged Michael Nowak, a J.P. Morgan veteran and former head of precious metals trading desk, and Greg Smith, and the other trader on JPM Metals desk in the probe. Both men were put on a leave over the summer as the DOJ's investigation neared its conclusion, and Novak was previously named in a civil suit brought by the CFTC. So, you've been saying for years, and I'm sure others have too, that it's been manipulated. They're playing with it. They're keeping their prices down. And now, finally, whether mounting there or not, I doubt it, the DOJ is saying, yep, these three guys did it. Now, those three guys did not do it by themselves.
You know, they didn't. And I'll tell you what, the Justice Department said the indictments are the latest in a series of cases that are involving commodities fraud. Supposedly, it have resulted in 8 guilty pleas and 1. Now, get this. 8 guilty pleas, 1 36-month prison sentence. You got a half a dozen others pending. 1 case ended in acquittal and 1 in a mistrial. And don't think that the timing of this, because we've been saying it for years, and now all of a sudden, oh, you know, we're out to get these guys, you know, J.P. Morgan and blah, 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 blah. We knew it was happening. Everybody talked about it was happening. And then, out of someplace else, I saw, I can't remember what, a big headline saying, gold, precious metals, prices on the rise, but beware fraud. And I'm thinking, you know, this is the cook calling the pot. What is that?
The kettle called the pot black.
Yeah.
Or the pot calling kettle black, one or the other, yeah.
But you know what? As soon as there's a little interest, you're going to hear all the negative things on owning gold and silver. Big big television commercials. Drop gold, buy cryptos. How stupid is that? Good grief.
And I know people do that. I know people that swear them down.
I do too.
The way to go, and they make money at it. And I'm sure they have made money at it. But how long is it going to last before it all collapses, like just like the dollar's collapsing every day?
Hey, it's okay to speculate in a market, but when you're making a profit, you take it out. And that's what people don't. It's human nature, because we always think it's going to go higher. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to pull out at one level and then see it go up another 2%. How dumb would we feel? No, you're very smart in doing that, because no one ever hits the top. What, 1% maybe? And I don't think there's a lot of smart people in the world to be the lucky enough to be in that 1%. You have to be an insider to be that 1%.
Well, I had a discussion with a gentleman Saturday about this. But he was in crypto, and I said, do you ever stop and think that you really literally cannot hold that in your hand? It's in a computer. He said, well, you can buy a disk, or what do you call those little chips where you put in a computer, you know, you download on that little, what do you call that little thing? It looks like a little chip or a little thing you slide in the computer, and it, you know, boots it up and gets your thing back on screen. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I have no idea. I'm not a computer. But anyway, he said, you can store it on there, and you always have it. I said, you always have what? A computer disk? What if the computer doesn't bring it up? What if computers are down? What do you got? You got a computer disk in your hand. What good is that going to do you? Would you not rather have a handful of gold than a computer disk? You know, he said, well, I never thought about it that way. That's a shame, because you're not thinking. You can save it, you said. Just put it on one of those old computer chips, and you'll have it. That way they can't take it. It's on a computer, Melody. What if they take something off a computer? What, are we going to cash that chip in for $1 million?
And I mean, what if
duh,
you
think.
And what if you insert your thumb drive? And what if it gets
thumb drive? Okay.
And what if it gets corrupted? What, I mean, I don't think there's anyone listening that hasn't had a computer that hasn't been hacked, that hasn't been corrupted, that hasn't had to replace a computer. I would not want to put my savings into something that I don't have that much control over, or at least not backed up with something that's real. Speculate, that's fine, but just make sure that you have enough to support your loss, and pick a strike point.
Yeah.
That's a problem. People put their money in something and they let it ride, and then you lose. Pick a strike point. When it gets there, you sell. You sell 50% of it, and then you buy gold. But oh, nobody does that. No. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I talked to this gentleman. He's a rather young fellow, probably around 40. And he hadn't thought about that way before. And I said, you need to think about it. His name is Matt. So, Matt, you need to think about that, because if it comes down to nothing and all you have is a little thumb drive, you have nothing. If the computer wants to bring it up, and if the computer records are lost, a thumb drive would do you no good at all. If they call it fraudulent, or they say it's not worth anything, it's not worth anything. It's a digitalized blip on a computer. It's not worth anything. Now, right now, it's trading. You know that, but it could be nothing any day. And yet, if you have a little bit of gold and silver in your hand, put it in somewhere where you keep it, it's always tangible. It's there. You can sell it to somebody else. Do what you want to with it. But that thumb drive will be useless.
It's not going to go to zero.
Now, yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. It's worth something. It never has been a zero. Ever. Trump preparing to hit EU with billions in tariffs. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I was kind of surprised to hear this. Washington is reportedly preparing to announce tariffs on billions of euros of goods from the European Union following a confidential decision by the WTO that was just handed down on Friday, Politico reports, citing four anonymous EU officials. According to these officials, WTO ruled in favor of the U.S. on Friday in a case against Airbus, ending a long-running transatlantic dispute between the world's two largest aircraft manufacturers. It's not the first finding against Airbus. An earlier ruling was released in April, which found that Airbus had benefited from illegal state subsidies. The decision will open the door for President Trump to slap the tariffs on goods ranging from cheese to aircraft components. One official reported said that Trump had won the right to collect between 5 billion and 8 billion pounds in tariff revenues. Another said the maximum sum is closer to 10 billion. So, we're going to put tariffs on the EU also. I don't know. Comments on that?
I just want to know what happens to the tariffs when we get trade deals. Do they stay on? They should, but I don't know what happens. And, well.
When's the last time we had anyone? I'm not saying they're bad deals. I'm not. I think sometimes it's needed. But when's the last time we had a president slap his many tariffs on so many different people? I can't think of it off the top of my head. Can you?
No.
I can't. And again, it's not all bad. I'm not knocking for that. I mean, there has to be some way to level the playing field a little bit. And he's right. China has took advantage of us for a long, long, long time. But on the other hand, we've learned to depend on China's goods, Melody. If it's cut off or the prices are raised, it's going to hurt us. Maybe necessary to do that to get us back in somewhat of an even keel, but it's still going to hurt, isn't it?
It is. You know, in one breath, you can say, well, you know, if prices go higher, then we won't be buying some of the things that we're buying today, and that's a good thing. Maybe people will save a little more. Maybe they won't go out and buy something because they think it's too expensive. But then on the other hand, it's going to hurt the corporations, and then they begin to lay off people. So now not only do you have to pay more for a product, you don't have a job. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a vicious circle.
It is a vicious circle. Because they're not addressing the real problems. And this isn't going to bring, tariffs is not going to bring corporations back to the States. They're just, corporations will go to Vietnam. Corporations will go to North Korea. Think about that.
That's very true. And again, if only we would have kept everything here like we showed in the first place, we wouldn't be in this mess. But we didn't. That was all part of the plan to undermine this country's economy, undermine this country, period. And they've done a great job of it. Even Ross Perot could see that years ago. But anyway, moving on.
You have to fix our monetary policy.
There you go.
In order to fix all our other problems. And there will be pain for each and every one of us. So we can just let it go and let it, we'll riot it. Until it fails, and that's the road we're on.
And Purdue, as you know, filed bankruptcy. You know that they mm-hmm. they had a 12
yes.
billion charge against from different states, and so they filed bankruptcy. And I understand 12 billion was going to be paid back over a period of time, I would assume. But I have to think that Purdue made a lot more money than what they've been taking back in a suit. Yeah, this doesn't sound right to me.
They scuttled some money over to Switzerland and private accounts and private corporations and all this kind of stuff that I think they're trying to go after and so forth. So they're trying to hide billions of dollars, and they're one of the richest families in the country or in the world. I think they're worth about $13 billion. And so...
It's amazing. I mean, and you know, a company this size may yield to the verdict, but they're not going to do it in a way it's going to hurt them in the long run. You know that. This isn't going to happen.
Well, I want to know where the, you know, they certainly, and no one's going to be held accountable for it.
Yes.
I mean, they basically lied. Just lied to the physicians.
And how many thousands of lives were lost because of that? Seriously, a loss or ruin. Family ruin. Because of what Purdue did.
And no one's going to prison.
No. As a matter of fact, I just read in the article today that, more drugs being forced on children, we'll say unnamed drugs or non-brand, the offline drugs, so to speak, more and more are putting on children at all different ages. They're actually doping their children up for most time they're born. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the whole plan. You know, the Bible talks about pharmakia. It's called sorcery in the Bible. But pharmakia is another word, of course, pharmacy. But they're actually starting to mind control the children at a very young age with drugs and all manner of things. So I don't know. I'm amazed at this. They've gotten by with it now for how many years, and it's growing every year. These are multi-billion, probably trillion-dollar companies now. How are you going to stop them?
Well, let them file bankruptcy, and they'll just reopen under a different name.
That's a fact. That's exactly right. You know, and
Lord knows what's, and even in the good medicine, Lord knows what's going in them, because most of the medications are made outside this country.
A lot of them are made
China.
In China, even
India?
Places. Yes,
India?
Yes, absolutely. That's very true. So I don't know. I mean, I would think that people would be looking for alternatives. I'm a Vietnam era veteran, and my pancreas was destroyed because of Agent Orange. I mean, that's what they told me. It was destroyed. So of course I'm a diabetic. And I'm fighting it by naturally as possible, step as many drugs as possible, because I want to do what God wants to do, the natural way. All right, we're out of time. Go ahead.
We're out of time. We need another hour, Butch.
We do.
But not today. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.